January 26th. We begin our Bible reading today as usual in the Old Testament. And our narrative will come from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 11. And we'll go through chapter 3, verse 22. You know, Moses' parents, Amram and Jochebed, knew that the times were difficult. But they had faith to get married and have a family. Aaron and Miriam were already in the home when Moses was born. It was not easy to provide for another child, but God enabled them, as he still does parents today. It also took faith for the parents to put their son into the river, obeying at least the spirit of the Egyptian law. God rewarded their faith. Jochebed not only got her son back, but she was paid to take care of him. Moses had a splendid education, but he was lacking in faith. He fought the wrong enemy at the wrong time with the wrong weapon. When you start to look around and ask yourself, is it safe? And not, is it right? You have stopped living by faith. Sometimes God has to set us aside to teach us what we need to know and to help us forget the way the world does things. Moses' impulsive deed sent him to the back of the desert for 40 years. Just as his impulsive words would keep him out of the promised land. An impatient spirit is a dangerous thing. And as we move on into chapter 3 here in the book of Exodus, we'll see that you never know what a day may bring, so keep your eyes and ears open to the leading of the Lord. Childlike curiosity completely changed Moses' life. God calls busy people to serve him, and he reveals himself to them. God is faithful. He called Abraham, he cared for Isaac, guided and protected Jacob, and he would be with Moses. He is the God of the individual as well as the nation, and he does not change from generation to generation. God is concerned and compassionate. He saw the affliction of his people, and he heard their cries. Then why didn't he act sooner? Because he was following a perfect timetable. We simply must learn to trust God's wisdom and to wait on the Lord and his timing. God is long-suffering. The Lord answered all of Moses' objections and gave one assurance after another to encourage him. Moses said, "I am not." And God replied, "I am." The faith lays hold of what God is and obeys what God says. Faith sees the opportunities while unbelief sees the obstacles. Are you arguing with God about something he wants you to do? With that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. January 26th, Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through chapter 3, verse 22. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his people, the Israelites, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrew slaves. After looking around to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. The next day, as Moses was out visiting his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. "What are you doing hitting your neighbor like that?" Moses said to the one in the wrong. "Well, who do you think you are?" the man replied. "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Do you plan to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Moses was badly frightened because he realized that everyone knew what he had done. And sure enough, when Pharaoh heard about it, he gave orders to have Moses arrested and killed. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and escaped to the land of Midian. When Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. Now it happened that the priest of Midian had seven daughters who came regularly to this well to draw water and fill the water troughs for their father's flocks. But other shepherds would often come and chase the girls and their flocks away. This time, however, Moses came to their aid, rescuing the girls from the shepherds. Then he helped them draw water for their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked, How did you get the flocks watered so quickly today? An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds, they told him. And then he drew water for us and watered our flocks. Well, where is he then? Their father asked. Did you just leave him there? Go and invite him home for a meal. Moses was happy to accept the invitation, and he settled down to live with them. In time, Reuel gave Moses one of his daughters, Zipporah, to be his wife. Later they had a baby boy, and Moses named him Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Years passed, and the king of Egypt died. But the Israelites still groaned beneath their burden of slavery. They cried out for help, and their pleas for deliverance rose up to God. God heard their cries and remembered his covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down on the Israelites and felt deep concern for their welfare. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. Amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go over to see this. When the Lord saw that he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, God told him. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he hid his face in his hands, because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, You can be sure I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries for deliverance from their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own good and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites live. The cries of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how the Egyptians have oppressed them with heavy tasks. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Moses asked God. How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? Then God told him, I will be with you, and this will serve as proof that I have sent you. When you have brought the Israelites out of Egypt, you will return here to worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, The God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they won't believe me. They will ask, Which God are you talking about? What is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied, I am the one who always is. Just tell them, I am, has sent me to you. God also said, Tell them, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This will be my name forever. It has always been my name, and it will be used throughout all generations. Now go and call together all the leaders of Israel. Tell them, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me in a burning bush. He said, You can be sure that I am watching over you and have seen what is happening to you in Egypt. I promise to rescue you from the oppression of the Egyptians. I will lead you to the land now occupied by the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The leaders of the people of Israel will accept your message. Then all of you must go straight to the king of Egypt and tell him, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us go on a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God." But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go except under heavy pressure. So I will reach out and strike at the heart of Egypt with all kinds of miracles. Then at last he will let you go. And I will see to it that the Egyptians treat you well. They will load you down with gifts so you will not leave empty-handed. The Israelite women will ask for silver and gold jewelry and fine clothing from their Egyptian neighbors and their neighbors' guests. With this clothing, you will dress your sons and daughters. In this way, you will plunder the Egyptians. January 26th. And now, as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament today, we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 17. We'll read verses 10 through 27. Listen to the king. This event was a picture of the coming kingdom and a proof that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. The law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah, all converge in him. But the thing Peter remembered most was the emphasis on the unchanging word of God. The memory of visions will fade, but the word endures forever. So trust the king. Jesus gave the disciples power to cast out demons, but their unbelief and lack of prayer robbed them of the power they needed. We cannot stay on the mountain of glory. There are needs to be met in the valley. So obey the king. The tax was an annual assessment of the Jewish men for the support of the temple. Jesus affirmed his kingship by controlling a coin and a fish, but he affirmed his servanthood by submitting to their demands. "Lest we offend them," he said. It's good principle when you lay aside your rights, but be careful not to set aside God's truth. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. January 26th, Matthew chapter 17, verses 10 through 27. His, Jesus' disciples, asked, "Why do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes?" Jesus replied, "Elijah is indeed coming first to set everything in order. But I tell you, he has already come. But he wasn't recognized, and he was badly mistreated. And soon, the Son of Man will also suffer at their hands." Then the disciples realized he had been speaking of John the Baptist. When they arrived at the foot of the mountain, a huge crowd was waiting for them. A man came and knelt before Jesus and said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, because he has seizures and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus replied, "You stubborn, faithless people, how long must I be with you until you believe? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him. From that moment, the boy was well. Afterward, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon?" "You didn't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." One day, after they had returned to Galilee, Jesus told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed. He will be killed. But 3 days later, he will be raised from the dead." And the disciples' hearts were filled with grief. On their arrival in Capernaum, the tax collectors for the temple tax came to Peter and asked him, Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Of course he does, Peter replied. Then he went into the house to talk to Jesus about it. But before he had a chance to speak, Jesus asked him, What do you think, Peter? Do kings tax their own people, or the foreigners they have conquered? They tax the foreigners, Peter replied. Well then, Jesus said, the citizens are free. However, we don't want to offend them. So go down to the lake and throw in a line. Open the mouth of the first fish you catch, and you will find a coin. Take the coin and pay the tax for both of us. Psalm 22, verses 1 through 18. This is about crucifixion. Because he was a prophet, David was able to write about the Messiah centuries before he came. Crucifixion was not a Jewish form of capital punishment, yet David described it accurately. As we listen, we'll see Jesus at Calvary, his cry to the Father, the period of darkness, the ridicule of the people, his thirst and pain, his pierced hands and feet, it's all here, and the gambling for his clothes, even that is here in this psalm. Remember, he endured all of these things for you. Psalm 22, verses 1 through 18. For the choir director, a psalm of David, to be sung to the tune, Doe of the Dawn. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why do you remain so distant? Why do you ignore my cries for help? Every day I call to you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. Yet you are holy. The praises of Israel surround your throne. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you rescued them. You heard their cries for help and saved them. They put their trust in you and were never disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man. I am scorned and despised by all. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, Is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. If the Lord loves him so much, let the Lord rescue him. Yet you brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you when I was a nursing infant. I was thrust upon you at my birth. You have been my God from the moment I was born. Do not stay so far from me, for trouble is near, and no one else can help me. My enemies surround me like a herd of bulls. Fierce bulls of Bashan have hemmed me in, like roaring lions attacking their prey. They come at me with open mouths. My life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. My strength is dried up like sun-baked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You have laid me in the dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count every bone in my body. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my clothes among themselves and throw dice for my garments. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Run from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and hand over to merciless people everything you have achieved in life. Strangers will obtain your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Afterward, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body, and you will say, How I hated discipline! If only I had not demanded my own way! Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to those who gave me instruction? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace.